जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वाला जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन भाला जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी जय यशोद नंदना जय ब्रज जन रंजना जय ब्रज जन रंजना जय यशोद नंदना जय ब्रज जन रंजना जय ब्रज जन रंजना जय जमुना तीर वनचारी जय कुंज बिहारी जय जमुना तीर वनचारी जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन भालभा जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदना जय ब्रज जन रंजना జయ వ్రజ జనరంజన జయా జమునా తీర వనచారి జయా కుంజ విహారీ జయా రథ మదావా జయా కుంజ విహారీ జయం విష్ణుపాద్ పరమహంస పరిబ్రాజ గచార్య అష్టోత్తర శత శిష్యమాద్ హిజ్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ ఏసి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి శిల ప్రభుపాదకి జయం విష్ణుపాద్ పరమహంస పరిబ్రాజ గచార్య అష్టోత్తర శత శిష్యమాద్ హిజ్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి గోస్వామి మహారాజ్ శిల ప్రభుపాదకి అనంత కోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి ఇస్కోన్ ఫౌండర్ ఆచార్య శిల ప్రభుపాదకి ప్రిన్స్ కహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్య ఆనంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీభాషాది గౌర భక్త వృందకి శిశి రాధా కృష్ణ గోప గోపినాథ్ శమకుంద రద కుంద గిరిగోవర్ధనకి గ్రంథరాశిమం భాగవతంకి దాయి గౌర ప్రేమనంది Oh glories to the assembled devotees, oh glories to the assembled devotees, oh glories to the assembled devotees, oh glories to Shishi Guru and Shri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 8, Withdrawal of the Cosmic Creation, Chapter 12, The Mohini Murti Incarnation Bewilders Lord Shiva. Text number 15. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Kautuhala Jadaityanam Yoshidvesho Mayadritha Pashyata Shura Karyani Gate piju shabhajane Kautahala jadaityanam Yoshidvesho mayadritaha Pashyata shura karyani Gate piju shabhajane Kautuhalaya daityanam Yoshidvesho mayadritaha Pashyata sura karyani Gate piyusha bhajane Please chant. Thank you. Sridharam Vacha Patala Dayatayanam Jushit Vesho Mayadritaha Hashyata Shura Karyani Gatipi Yushabhajane Sri Bhagavan Ubacha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Kautuhalaya, for the bewildering, Daityanam of the demons, Yoshit Veshaha, the form of a beautiful woman, Maya, by me, Dritaha, assume, Pashyata, seeing that is necessary for me, Shurakaryani, for executing the interests of the demigods, Gate, having been taken away, Piyushabhajane, the jug of nectar. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Supreme Personality of God had said, when the demons took away the jug of nectar, I assumed the form of a beautiful woman to bewilder them by directly cheating them and thus act in the interest of the demigods. Purport. When the Supreme Personality of God had assumed the form of the beautiful woman, Mohini Murti, the demons were certainly captivated, but the demigods present were not. In other words, those who maintain a demonic mentality are bewildered by the beauty of a woman. But those who are advanced in Krishna consciousness, or even those on the platform of goodness, are not bewildered. The Supreme Personality of Godhead knew that because Lord Shiva is not an ordinary person, he cannot be bewildered even by the most beautiful woman. Cupid himself tried to invoke Lord Shiva's lusty desires in the presence of Parvati, but Lord Shiva was never agitated. Rather, the blazing fire for Lord Shiva's eye turned Cupid to ashes. Therefore, Lord Vishnu has to think twice about what kind of beautiful form will bewilder even Lord Shiva. Consequently, he was smiling gravely. As stated in the previous verse, Prahasya Bhava Gambhiram. A beautiful woman generally cannot induce Lord Shiva to be lusty, but Lord Vishnu was considering whether there was any form of a woman who could enchant him. Sri Bhagavan Ubacha, Kautu Halaya Daityanam Yoshit Veshu Mayadrita Pashyata Shurakaryani Gate Pi Yushabhajane. The Supreme Personality of God has said, when the demons took away the jug of nectar, I assumed the form of a beautiful woman to bewilder them by directly cheating them and thus act in the interest of the demigods. Om Agyana Timirandasya Jananjana Salakaya Chakshur Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurube Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatyade Satarine Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyasha Kripa Sindhu Vyayavacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. So a very important point to understand is, what do we mean, or what is Prabhupada means by being bewildered. Bewildered by the beauty of a woman. So, situation of the Lord appearing as Mohinimurti for the specific purpose that the form the is demons that were in the past tense of the churning of the ocean of milk to obtain the nectar of immortality. They were pretty advanced materially. I mean, this was the, you know, it was powerful demons, very, very advanced, and headed by Bali Maharaj, who was extremely powerful. And this is the dynasty that came from Hiranyakashipu. And so, not ordinary ignorant, you know, fellows type, but these are very advanced materially, demon, you know, asuras, demons. So the Lord assumed a form that was able to completely bewilder them. So he was able to bewilder them, but not the demigods. The demigods who were present, they were not bewildered. So to understand what is this bewilderment, because the way I understand it is not that one doesn't become attracted or attraction is there, but bewilderment is when you lose a sense of discrimination. You know, bewilderment, usually you become confused and you take something, you don't see clearly something for what it is, and you may act, you know, in a very erratic or out of control way or something out of the ordinary. You become bewildered. That's why I understand. And so in the case of Mohinimurti, when Mohinimurti manifests, if you recall in the narration of the appearance of Mohinimurti, when she first appeared, both the demigods as well as the demons were attracted. It was a very attractive form. The demons became bewildered. And when they became bewildered, the whole exchange is actually, it was actually sort of funny, because it was like, wow, you know, be amused. You get amused when you were hearing the narration, because even sounds very silly. You know, like really, you know, the guys, they were, you know, these are big, powerful demons, you know, warriors and chivalrous, you know, how do you say that word, chivalrous? And they were just engaged in battle with the demon, the demigods. They were just, you know, fighting and competing intensely. I mean, this is intense competition. Like when you have, you know, sports. I mean, people get really, like, you know. So recently we just heard the news that, you know, the Chicago Cubs, you know, they became champions of the world. So, you know, people are like really pumped up in Chicago. So, so, you know, it's a very intense competition. And so you have all this focus on achieving this great thing, and they did, you know, after their whole calculation. And you can imagine how calculated they were, you know, that as this, all these goods were coming, they were, you know, keep the focus, guys, you know, the nectar is going to come. When the nectar comes, they had the plan. When the nectar comes, Just snatch it. Don't waste time. Don't get, you know, like all the things, yeah, don't get, keep the focus. The focus is the nectar. The other things, they're really attractive, you know, but the nectar was the thing. So the cow comes, pfft, cow, nectar, keep the focus, you know. So, you know, all the things were coming there. The apsaras, well, good-looking girls, but the nectar, you know. Not even the apsaras were able to bewilder them. And the apsaras are, you know, they're not ordinary living entities. The apsaras, usually, Lord Indra sent them to bewilder the sages. The demons were so focused that, you know, the apsaras came out of the ocean, the churning, and it doesn't mention that, you know, they got all like, oh, oh, you know, bewildered and silly and stupid like that. So they were very focused. So the scenario is that it was such an intense focus, such an intense competition, such an intense desire to achieve that nectar. And indeed, when Lord Dhanvantari came up with the nectar, in no time they came out and snatched it out of the hands of the Lord. Like, they didn't have, you know, and there was no protocol in there, not like Hare Krishna, you know, Namaskar, can I take? No, they just went and snatched it by force. And so, just we can picture it. And for them to just like go like that's the conception of bewilderment, that they just go like, yeah, yeah, here, you know, it's like you can imagine how silly it becomes, or how they lose complete sense of reality, just like completely enchanted or bewildered by this manifestation. The manifestation of the Mohini Murti. So it was it's explained that this manifestation of Mohini Murti is the supreme manifestation of this attracted feature of the material energy. And then it takes the form of a woman. But this is a supreme manifestation. So so that was in a very supreme, how you say, manifestation. Or like the whole exchange was in that, you know, level. So it took that level to be able to fully confuse and bewilder these powerful demons. So how the principle of bewilderment, okay, so in that level, in that supreme level, but the principle applies in all level. For those who are not as powerful as these demons, there's still the principle of the attraction. And in this case, we're speaking about the attraction between a man to a woman. Then it becomes, you know, the whole thing becomes bewildering. And we have the cases, so many cases. Like in the news also, there is the expressions of bewilderment of just some time ago, I think I was mentioning in some class some time ago, this powerful criminal that was caught because he couldn't control himself and he came out of his hidden spot just because he wanted to meet this woman. His man, it was El Chapo something, El Chapo González, or Chapo something. El Chapo. El Chapo. El Chapo. So this guy was the ultimate mafioso drug leader. He was controlling the biggest drug smuggling, you know, enterprise in Mexico. The guy was very powerful, very vicious, and very clever. So apparently, you know, it was extremely difficult to capture him. And after so much endeavor, they finally captured him. And he was so together, in no time, he escaped this huge prison. He just, you know, someone dig a tunnel for him and he just escaped. And no one to nowhere to find him. Then again, after so much endeavor, they capture him and put him in a much more difficult, you know, jail. And the guy escaped again, somehow or other. He escaped three times of three different jails. So this is a very clever, together guy. Very difficult to capture him and to keep him, you know, locked. And he was then, after that, able to keep hidden somewhere in some, was impossible to get him, until they found some actress that started to, you know, communicate with the fellow, and he became so bewildered by the beauty of this actress that the man just couldn't resist. He just came out of his hidden spot to meet her. And then, boom, finally they capture, and now they brought it, they brought it here to the US, and then he's finished. So that's what this attraction does for people who are of demoniac mentality. They become bewildered and they completely lost a sense of discrimination. Even things that are so they're so expert at is get dismantled. So the beauty of a woman for a man of demoniac mentality, they completely lose the sense of discrimination, and then they act in such a way that is completely against their interest. There's nothing good that comes out of it. Is hurtful for themselves, is hurtful for the woman, is hurtful for society, is a mess. And so that's it, what the demoniac mentality does. When a person basically loses the sense of discrimination in this exchange or this contact, then you can understand that there is a demoniac mentality. Now, for the demigods, it didn't happen. And although when the Mohinimurti enters the demigods, also the narration explains that they were attractive. They immediately became very attractive. Because that is the nature. So, but they were not bewildered. And Prabhupada explains, see, if there's two persons that are not bewildered, the pure devotees, they're not bewildered, but even those people who are in the mood of goodness, or who are, Prabhupada saying, the platform of goodness, they're not bewildered. In the case of the pure devotees, they have no attraction. There's no attraction to enjoy, because the pure devotee is perfectly situated. So In our original position as spirit souls, both the male and female forms are just manifestation of this material world in terms of, you know, from the perspective of the conditioned souls, that we take this conception of I'm a woman, and then I try to act accordingly. From the spirit soul, we both that in for the spirit soul, for the living entity, then there is not such a thing. We are energies of God, so we are prakriti, both of a female nature. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Purusha, and his energies are prakriti, to be enjoyed. So we are to be enjoyed by the Personality of Godhead. That's the position of the living entity. So the pure devotee is perfectly situated that, and he understands everything is for the pleasure of the Lord. So there's no misunderstanding. So the pure devotee doesn't see, you know, the world from the perspective of I want to enjoy this, but they see that everything is to be enjoyed by Krishna, so there's not a problem there. But when we're not in the platform of pure devotional service, then we get caught in this conception that if you have a male body, the male body takes this psyche of I'm a Purusha. So the natural thing is that, oh, you know, I want to enjoy. And the female body is prakriti, is, and then the natural thing of the man is that the man sees, oh, I want to enjoy. There's a beautiful woman, oh, I can't resist myself. I'm attractive. And then if you are demoniac mentality, then you lose a sense of discrimination. Like also in the news, there's this fellow called what's the name of Trump? Donald Trump. This fellow. There's this fellow called Donald Trump that apparently he was some few years ago was in some making some TV program, and then off the stage he was just talking with this other guy, and he started to, you know, boast about his progress with you know, woman. So then, you know, like demoniac men, they see a beautiful woman and they start to, whoa, look at that one, oh yeah, you know, like, man, you know, like that boasting, you know, like, you know, I mean, it's almost like you see the pilgrims, you know, you ever seen the pilgrims, you know, doing the courting to the female pilgrim? They go like puff, and they go like, and they start to move around, and you know, they start to make all kinds of noises and puff themselves, you know, and then the female pigeon is just like, you know, picking things, like trying to ignore the fellow, and the guy just goes. So demoniac guys, you know, they go into this thing, oh yeah, they start to, you know, say. So this Donald Trump with the other demoniac fellow, he started to say without noticing that he had a live microphone and he's being recorded. I mean, this is a public figure. This is a millionaire. that is a public figure, that, you know, that, you know, he has big responsibilities, being, you know, a wealthy person, one of the wealthy persons of this country, that owns so many things and is the leader of so many things. So you're a public figure. And they become so idiotic and bewildered that they lose discrimination. So you know that when you are leader, you have to be very conscientious that, you know, that things that you say, how you act, that all things get noticed. It doesn't go, you know, like that. And you think, you know, you're trying to hide, you know, those things, but, you know, there's, you know, there's a person that he was exchanging, there was other persons in there, and none of the things, you know, will go unnoticed. But they lose discrimination. So this fellow, Donald Trump, he started to say, "Oh, yeah, look at that one." They were looking at this beautiful woman, and he say, "Yeah, they're so beautiful. I completely lose it when I see beautiful woman. I start to kiss them and kiss them and kiss them." And then he start to say all kinds of gross, really gross things, that now basically is, you know, because it was recorded, then it got put in the public now, and then when the people heard what he said, then they started to drop him. Women in the country became very upset, so no woman wants to vote for him, and their own Republican Party, the Republicans are supposed to be, you know, very righteous persons, you know, religious and like that, some of them say, "No, we don't want anything to do with this guy." So anyway, these things happen. You know, you have the act in this condition that this is for me to enjoy. So, so the pure devotee doesn't have that conception. No conception that this is for me to enjoy, this is for Krishna to enjoy. Now, the person in the mode of goodness, the attraction is there, you know, because the person in the mode of goodness is not necessarily, or is not fully realized of his position as a spirit soul, necessarily. Sorry. So, don't have that full realization necessarily, and if it doesn't have that realization, it means that you're still recognizing yourself with the body in the mode of goodness. However, the mode of goodness, what it does is that you don't lose the sense of discrimination, you don't become bewildered. By knowledge, by transcendental knowledge, you're able to discriminate. So although the attraction is there, you don't act, because you see, no, that is irreligious. You act correctly. You act according to religious principles. So that was the position of the demigods. The demigods don't deviate from religious principles, and in this case, although we have seen, there's no Prabhupada said that even in the highway, even in the royal road, there's still dangers. So sometimes we hear narrations in the scriptures of demigods becoming bewildered and doing, you know, losing the sense of discrimination. We see in several cases of Lord Indra that he loses the sense of discrimination and gets himself into trouble. So the mode of goodness is what allows to be able to function in a religious way. So therefore, for us, and that's how you can explain how practicing sadhakas, you know, preachers, we can, when we go out and we have to deal with the opposite sex, then as long as you strongly situated in sadhana and strongly situated in performing devotional service, you're protected because you act correctly. Attraction may be there, but you act correctly. You do the proper discrimination. But if you start to sort of lack or ease on the practices of sadhana, then you can be victimized, because you know the less you are the less you're situated in the platform of goodness, and you put yourself or expose yourself to the lower modes of nature, then you can be victimized, because the attraction is still there, the protection for us who still have this bodily conception of life and still may be attracted, but they're still conditioned by the attraction to enjoy material nature. Then if we don't maintain ourselves in the mode of goodness, then no doubt we become victimized. So that's the importance. Any comments or questions? Back to Jordan, Prabhu.
I'm wondering if you can explain a little bit more how mode of goodness looks like directly relating with devotional service, because oftentimes we hear it, like in the Bhagavad Gita, speaking about it just in terms of mode of goodness by itself, but in terms of like directly applying mode of goodness within our program and within devotional service.
Yeah, Prabhupada said that even to be considered a human, ones have to come to the mode of goodness, because the natural position of a human being is that you're able to understand and follow and live under the principles of religion, you know, which has been given by God, by Krishna. So there is no way of practicing properly devotional service progressively without cultivating the mode of goodness. So when devotional service is mixed with passion and ignorance, then there is no progress. Devotional service is there, Krishna takes that, but you being able to overcome the very strong attachments and conditions and arthas that are there in the heart, it just won't happen. And then, therefore, we can go on for millions and millions of births, even performing some devotional service and not being able to achieve the desired result. But I was saying the verse that, you know, even after chanting the holy name for many, many births, we're not get the love of Godhead, which is the ultimate goal, this chanting, you know, a type of thing. So the cultivation of the mode of goodness along with the practices of devotional service is important. Prabhupada was mentioning yesterday in the video when he was in his bed, he was saying, therefore we want to train these, you know, Brahminical culture, that they're very clean and proper like that. So we've been trained in the Brahminical culture because the Brahminical culture is a culture of the mode of goodness. And then, right there, we can advance. Otherwise, there's no chance. So, one may say, okay, but what happens, you know, when you come in, you're still affected by the modes of passion and ignorance. But the idea is when you're engaged and being trained, the training that we're receiving is to elevate ourselves to the mode of goodness. And when we are in the mode of goodness, when we finally reach the mode of goodness, then, you know, like real realization and progress will happen. That's Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti said, now the nectar begins. And when we are affected by the other modes of nature, that's when we are, you know, in this like awkward situation. It's like almost tossing here and there. It's this tug war between, you know, our material tendencies and our spiritual desires. You know, sometimes we, you know, it's like a Ferris wheel. Or like a, you know, roller coaster, you know, up and down like that. So it's very awkward. So immortal goodness is for spiritual progress and for coming to Krishna consciousness is compulsory. Is that right?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your class. And thank you for your modern day examples such as the Cubs and Donald Trump. And I'm serious because I appreciate those examples because for newcomers and for Westerners who grew up on pop culture, that'll give us more, you know, enthusiasm than like Madhavacharya, not in an offensive way, but I have a comment and a question. Usually this verse says if you're of a demoniac mentality, then you're gonna be attracted by a beautiful form of women. And I think usually men usually get a bad reputation as the only ones who want to exploit women. I think men also have like, you know, heavy duty artillery women want to use too. So everyone's of a demoniac mentality in this material world. So sometimes, you know, men get a bad reputation, but everyone's a prisoner in this material world. So everyone has probably thoughts like Donald Trump. They just don't say it. Just like Maharaj was mentioned the other day, you know, does anybody want to know what's in your mind? And obviously the question is no, so Krishna gives us like some mystic diary, which is our mind. So my question is kind of related to the point of where Lord Chaitanya says, na dinam, na janam, na sundaram, etc. Only bhatiya give you happiness, neither women, neither money, neither followers. And that sounds nice and theoretical for ourselves. And then there's also another verse that says, Krishna nam mahamantreda eta swabhava, yejape tada krishna upajaya bhava. That only this maha mantra, this chanting this maha mantra will awaken your ecstasy for Krishna. Now, when we're going downtown Chicago to preach this philosophy, let's say there's a Cubs parade today, and I was telling Mitch that you guys could go, you know, preach downtown Chicago because there's going to be a lot of people, Cubs fans. Now, when we're preaching downtown Chicago and we tell a Cubs fan, you know this, you know, maha mantra, it'll give you more ecstasy than your girlfriend or the Cubs win. Now, for obviously, they'll like get on my face. Now, for us as practicing devotees, a lot of times people leave the movement because they don't have faith in this principle. Like, wow, this maha mantra giving me more ecstasy, but when we associate with the material world, you know, the desires come up, the senses get aroused. So as practicing devotees, how do we maintain our faith in this principle that actually chanting this maha mantra will give us more ecstasy than anything in the material world? Because it's hard to maintain that faith without, basically, without having some, my question is without some calamity coming. Naturally, when you have some calamity coming, then you only have hope. The only hope you have is Krishna consciousness. But as far as practicing devotees, when we don't feel the influence of calamities coming, how do we maintain our faith? So that's essentially my question. Without these kind of
by association, that's the classic answer. Associating with those who have faith, and for us, that is not that we're experiencing at least many of us, not, I won't say us, but many of us, and not experience ecstasy while chanting the holy name. Rather, you know, Durvdaivan, Idrisani, Hajani, I'm so unfortunate that I have no attraction for the holy name, obviously. You know, so why we chant? Well, we chant because we have received transcendental knowledge. So we know that it's a medicine, it's a means. And how do you know? Well, we feel, we understand how it's working. Because, you know, I'm actually changing. And it's something that you can measure. You can measure. I'm not cured, but I have the experience of progressing. And we all have that experience. That's why you receive transcendental knowledge. You receive the seed of devotional service. And then now you start to experience, you know, the cleansing of material desires. So we have faith because we're experiencing. I mean, Krishna says that pratyaksha bhagavan dharmyam, that is there is a direct experience of, and therefore this bhakti is the essence of all religion, because you can experience it. So what to say to the people, you know, the pumped up cup fans, is you may not necessarily say, hey, this will give you more ecstasy, that, you know, the ecstasy that you're having right now, that after whatever 200 years, you know, you're able to be champion, you know. But rather, you know, this is, we don't necessarily have to all people tell the glories of the holy name, but you can tell people about certain things that will help them. You know, sometimes I think Vaisheshika Prabhu, sometimes he says, you know, in terms of how to be more peaceful, less stress, how to deal with, you know, the natural conflicts that are there in the world. You know, right now you're forgetting for a day all the miseries of the world because you're just focusing on this achievement that the city now is champion, and but then that doesn't change reality, that you still have to, you know, you don't have to how to pay your bills and this and that, you know, that whole thing. So for a moment you forget, and there's a moment of ecstasy, but that moment of ecstasy is just a little moment. The next day you have to face reality again. So that's the world. And, you know, that's what we say, that, you know, that we're trying to revive our spiritual nature. So from that, you know, you approach it from that perspective. And our faith is that it has changed our life. You know, it has changed the way we see the world. It has changed, you know, the understanding of where we should go. You know, and when we look back, it's surprising how much I've done for you. Imagine without Krishna consciousness, sometimes you think like this, if I didn't have this contact with Krishna consciousness, I wonder what my life will be right now. And choose. I mean, I can say for myself, this thing saved my life. You know? So So we can say that we have that faith. All right. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.